Welcome back to the Fasting Well podcast. By the way, if you've been finding these episodes helpful, useful, valuable, please take a moment to write a review on Apple if you're using Apple, if you haven't already, or at least leave a rating, or if you're on Spotify, or if you're on any other platform that allows a review or a rating, because those kind of things help a lot to boost the podcast so that more people can find it. So you'd actually be helping more people find it if you just take the time to leave a rating or a review. And if you're watching the YouTube version of one of these episodes, then leave a comment, you know, hit the like button, things like that. All those little things help a lot. So it's almost Christmas. That could be your Christmas present to me. So if you haven't already done those things, please do those things. In the last episode, which was not that long ago, I mentioned my intermittent fasting quick start guide, which is a perfect resource for beginners. So it's not free, it costs a few bucks, but it's definitely worth it if you're a beginner. It'll help you get a really smooth start with fasting. So you can check that out at fastingwell.com/quick, Q-U-I-C-K. I'll put a link below. And I talked a little bit more about it in the last episode in the introduction if you want to hear a little bit more about it there as well. And if you're already more advanced with intermittent fasting, maybe get the quick start guide for somebody else. It could be a last minute Christmas present. So anyway, that's a good resource that's out there for any beginners. With that being said, today's episode is about something completely different than getting a smooth start at the very, very beginning of fasting. It's about doing a week-long fast, the most recent one I did and what my experience was like. So without further ado, let's dive right in. So I'm currently on day 6 of a 7-day fast, so I'm fasting for a week. And I hadn't done this in quite a while, so I wanted to share some of my experience, what the experience was like, what kind of results I'm getting, what kind of symptoms I'm having or not having, and my energy levels and how I'm sleeping, and kind of cover all the common things, blood sugar, ketone levels, all that stuff. So I'll do this so that you can kind of see what it's like if you've never done it before. Also, so you can kind of compare with your own experience, there might be something interesting or different. And so you can kind of understand what kind of benefits you can get from it, because I'll allude to some of those things. Even if your health situation is much different from mine, you may kind of understand some of those benefits as well just by listening to what I'm talking about. By the way, I'm Ben. I'm a PA, and I often share tips and strategies about nutrition, especially fasting, and how it can improve your health. So quick side note, doing a week-long fast is not for everybody, or maybe a better way to put it is, like, some people it would make sense to do it kind of regularly if they're morbidly obese, have really high blood sugar, all those things. It's something that can rapidly turn around a condition like type 2 diabetes. But if you're more lean or muscular or something like that, then it certainly doesn't make sense to do a week-long fast very often, maybe once in a blue moon, you know, maybe once a year or something like that. Because you can certainly still get some health benefits from it, but if you do it too much, then you're kind of, it's just excessive, you know, if you don't have a lot of extra body fat, because you need that extra body fat to run on when you're doing a long fast like this. So in my case, I had gained some body fat through through not as great habits in some of the preceding months. And so it was time to maybe do it again. But I also actually hadn't done one this year. So it's the first time this year. So I'm kind of on the maybe once a year or twice a year kind of schedule with these prolonged fasts now. All right. So what about the experience, the details, all that stuff? So first of all, how am I feeling? Well, I feel great. I feel way better than when I'm not fasting. It's kind of amazing. There's really nothing negative that I can think of in terms of how I'm currently feeling on day 6 of a 7-day fast. I'd say mood, energy, all the things are just kind of sky high. And it's a lot better than what I'm eating. Fasting is better than eating. It's like Walter Longo said in one interview that I heard him say, that it's not a stress on your body to fast. It's more like program A and program B. Fasting is program B and eating is program A. Cause, you know, I guess A would be the one you do more often. So it's kind of interesting. Of course, you can call it a stress on your body, but the way he wanted to talk about it, he said it's not a stress on the body. It's just one of the two natural conditions that we might be in at any given time. So interesting way to look at it. All right, so let's get into some of the specific results and experiences related to this current fast. All right, so energy and focus, I alluded to that. So my energy's been really good after the first couple of days. So once I really got into the fast, because the first couple of days, my ketones weren't that high, and I wasn't really, my body wasn't fully into that fasted state. But once I got past about day two, I've been really energetic, and my mental focus or mental clarity, as people sometimes call it, has been really good. So I feel like, on a related note, I'm very, 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 very productive. So you know how when you do a difficult task, a mentally challenging task, usually you kind of need a break, or then after a while you're like, okay, that's enough for today. Well, during this prolonged fast, when I do a mentally challenging task, then right after that, you know, I need a 1 minute break and I'm ready to move on to the next task. So I can like do way more productive stuff, more productive things in a day. Not only because I'm saving time, but because of the way my mind is functioning with these sky-high ketones and whatnot. So that's kind of the energy, the focus, the productivity. It sounds amazing, right? But I'll give you some reasons why it's kind of been better for me than it is sometimes for other people, or better for me than it has been sometimes in the past as well. All right, so speaking of ketone levels, after the first couple days, super high. So I'm using some breath meters and I'm using some urine strips. I don't really do the blood testing because it's a hassle and expensive. So by like day three, the urine strips were like dark purple. So it's basically, you know, maximum amount of ketones that you can measure on a urine strip. And similarly, the breath meters were up in the they weren't maxed out. They were like 10 times as much as what I was getting when I was just kind of doing like a low carb diet, something like that. So they're like very high levels. And so I can't tell you exactly what that would be in terms of a blood test, but it would be very high. And what about blood sugar? I don't have really specific blood sugar results for you because I'm not pricking my finger and I don't have a CGM. But I'll just tell you what my blood sugar was like on a previous week-long fast that I did a while back when I did actually prick my finger twice a day throughout the fast. So basically during that fast, it was kind of unpredictable and it varied between the 40s at the lowest and maybe the upper 80s or around 90 at the highest. So I'm someone without diabetes. And so after I got well into the fast, sometimes my blood sugar would be in the 40s or 50s on the American scale. For you Europeans, you got to look up a converter, I guess, because I don't know off the top of my head what that is. But so that sounds low, right? That sounds like hypoglycemia. But that can be normal during a long fast because my body is shifting over to use ketones and body fat as the main energy sources and not sugar anymore. Sugar is not the main energy source. Now, I still need some. I can't live without any blood sugar, but it could be like half of what it normally is, you know, if it's in the 40s versus the 80s. So it's like half of a normal blood sugar after a few days, and not the whole day because it kind of waxes and wanes depending on hormones and other factors and exercise and blah, blah, blah. So that's just a little taste with the blood sugar. Sometimes it would randomly be in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even up to maybe 90. But then sometimes it would be in the 50s or the 40s. So that's typical for me on like a week-long fast. So that's probably what's happening right now as well. All right, so sleep. What about sleep? And so in terms of with this topic, I'll kind of allude to some of the things that have helped me be more energetic and focused during this fast because they're related to sleep as well. So sometimes people have trouble sleeping on a prolonged fast, and that's basically, I did a video about this, you can look it up, but it's basically because the counter-regulatory hormones, the hormones that kind of oppose insulin, the hormones that help you maintain your blood pressure and help you maintain your blood sugar when you're fasting, those will go up in general. And so those are the so-called stress hormones, including adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol, as well as there are others like growth hormone that play a role in this regard. But so sometimes people have trouble sleeping because they have this kind of extra, you know, energy, you know, they're amped up or whatever, and it can be hard to sleep. But just like those tips that I shared in that video about insomnia and fasting, what I've done is I've tried to have a very high sodium intake every day. So I've tried to get at least 6 grams of sodium every day during this prolonged fast, usually around 8 grams. So if 8 grams doesn't sound like much to you, realize that that means 8,000 milligrams. So people on a random standard diet or whatever, it depends on how much processed food you're eating. You know, some people eat just a couple thousand milligrams, some people eat like 10,000 milligrams if they're eating lots of junk food and, you know, lots of salty stuff or whatever. When you're fasting, you kind of need more salt in general. And so I am getting a very high amount of salt. I'm trying to do that so to take away the stress from my body. I'm trying to get lots of salt so my body won't be stressed. And why do I say that? Well, because if I do that, then my body doesn't need to ramp up all those hormones, you know, the adrenaline and the cortisol and other things. And so it's kind of making it easier on my body. It doesn't have to engage other systems like what's called the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system and stuff like that as much as it would otherwise. So it's kind of reducing the stress on my body by getting lots of extra salt. And the reason I brought this up right here is because I think that's why I've actually been sleeping really well. I've been sleeping really well during this fast. Actually sleeping for a long time, like about 9 hours a night. And, you know, granted, not everyone has the luxury of having 9 hours, but if you can get at least 8 hours a night, which is like a pretty average good amount for an adult, then that's really good. But so I've been sleeping really well overall, like slightly better than normal. Maybe also because I've been feeling cold during this fast. So that's another topic. So being cold is good for sleep. And so because I feel cold, it kind of, you know, makes it so I sleep better in a way. But so that's the sleep topic. But speaking of which, cold. Cold. What about cold? So people often get cold during a prolonged fast. Have I been cold on this prolonged fast? Absolutely. Especially since we're just getting into the winter time, kind of. Not technically, I guess, until December 21st, but it's definitely kind of winter weather now. And it was a funny coincidence that it got significantly colder right as I was starting this fast. So all of a sudden, and I don't run my heater that often, but I have been turning it on just during the day, just a little bit, to push it from like 65 degrees up to 70 degrees indoors. But anyway, I'm wearing a jacket right now, if you can't see. And I've had to bundle up, but ironically, I recently learned a little bit more about the benefits of cold exposure. And so I've been intentionally doing cold things as well. So in the morning, a few times during this fast, I've done cold showers. And then I've intentionally gone outside in the morning without a coat on and stuff on other days. So I've intentionally done the cold because that increases fat burning, among other things, has various other health benefits. But then in the remaining portion of the day later on, I've been bundling up to kind of counter the cold and whatnot. So I've been getting some of the benefits of cold exposure, but I've also been feeling cold in general. And yeah, that's a real thing and that's normal. Basically because your body, you know, food is like a furnace, or digestion is like a furnace would be a better way to say it. Digestion is like a furnace. It produces heat when you digest food. So if you're not digesting food, you don't produce as much heat. And when you eat a lot of food, some of that food just goes to heat production. That's one of the ways your body kind of diverts the excess calories, is some of it will go to heat production. So it's normal to feel colder when you're fasting. All right, so let's get into some stuff about like health benefits and related to my own experience, you know, in terms of weight loss and other things like that. So have I lost any weight on this fast? Yeah, I started around 190, 190 pounds, or just barely below that. And then today I weighed in on day six, I weighed in at 184.6. So that's roughly 5 pounds lower than when I started. Now, on a prolonged fast, sometimes people lose a lot of water weight, but I'm not losing as much water weight because I'm drinking tons of salty stuff. So the salt kind of keeps my blood volume up. And so I'm not losing as much water weight as I would, but I'll still lose a little bit of water weight through the glycogen depletion and stuff like that. So other people might lose more weight just because they're not drinking as much water and salt. So that doesn't mean they lose more body fat than I am right now. So, you know, it's kind of normal to lose something like a half a pound of body fat if you're someone with plenty of body fat per day on fasting. So some of the fat that some of the weight that I've lost is just water weight. Some of it's actually body fat. So it's like, it's always going to be a mixture. And so whatever you lose, you don't expect to keep it all off, but you expect to keep some of it off afterwards, basically. So that's kind of the long and short of that. I just thought of something funny about the weight loss. TMI alert, but yesterday I had a big bowel movement, and that was on day five of a prolonged fast. So it's like, where does that come from? It was large and well-formed. Where does that come from? because I hadn't eaten anything in days. But I guess there's just probably just more of a delayed effect, or maybe some of the dill pickles that I've been eating, you know, which are like basically zero calories, so they're like a salt source. I don't know, whatever. But obviously that contributes to the weight loss slightly, as if your gut is empty. So speaking of health benefits, so the health benefits that I've alluded to that could impact you if you did a prolonged fast is it's going to help your blood sugar and insulin come down a lot compared to whatever it normally is for you. And so if you're someone with type 2 diabetes, that's a wonderful thing. Now you probably have to taper your meds or stop some of your meds. And so you need medical guidance if that's your situation. But if you can get off your insulin, you can probably get off your insulin really fast. If you're like monitoring things or getting some guidance or whatever, you can get off other diabetes medications. Your blood pressure will generally come down as well. For various reasons. I have a video about that. Just search my channel. But you can probably get off your blood pressure medicines pretty fast if you do some rounds of fasting. And so those are some of the big benefits, because having diabetes or high blood pressure, that increases your risk of heart attacks, strokes, lots of other problems, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. So big, big benefits. And then I mentioned the weight loss. Like I said, if you have a lot of extra body fat, you can maybe lose like a half a pound a day of fat from your body. Your weight loss will look like more than that, probably, because you'll have some fluids that, you know, water loss and stuff while you're fasting for various reasons. But the fat loss is significant. And one way I know I'm losing fat is when my ketones are sky high. I'm not really consuming dietary fat, but my ketones are sky high. So where do the ketones come from? Body fat, pretty much. What else? So a quick overview, like this is day six. On day one, I used some training wheels. So I often talk about using training wheels if you're a beginner, and I hadn't done a prolonged fast in a while. So it made sense to use some stuff to kind of tide me over while I was getting into full fasting mode. So what do I mean by training wheels? It's like the types of food or small amounts of food that just tide you over a little bit and make fasting easier, but they don't really disrupt your fast. So that's the training wheels. So what did I do as training wheels? It was just what was convenient. I was actually working at the ER on day one and day two. So on day one, I grabbed a little handful of almonds at one point, and then I had this little veggie tray that they had available there. Had some carrots, celery, and I guess a few slices of bell peppers and a couple cherry tomatoes or something like that. And then I was walking around like crazy when I ate that, right before and after I ate that. So of course, if it was going to raise my blood sugar ever so slightly, wouldn't be much with that food. If it was going to raise my blood sugar ever so slightly, the walking would basically knock that out. So there wouldn't be really any blood sugar rise from that either. Am I using any other supplements besides salt? And how am I getting my salt? Well, just as a quick overview, I'm mostly using dill pickles, soy sauce, and some different types of bouillon powder or cubes or whatnot. So things that have a lot of sodium or salt and very little in the way of calories and very little in the way of carbohydrates or sugar and very little fat or protein as well. So that's mostly what I'm using for salt. And then I'm taking some potassium each day. It's just a potassium citrate, I think, powder. So I just take like the equivalent of 2 grams of potassium a day, roughly. I've taken a magnesium supplement a couple times, but then I had some loose stools, so I cut back on that and took a bath with Epsom salt instead, because that's another way to get magnesium into your body, is to take an Epsom salt bath. So that's kind of an overview of my week-long fast that I've been doing. It's been kind of amazing in terms of productivity, focus, and how I'm feeling. I went to the gym and did a workout, by the way. I just did it like 60% intensity of what I normally would have done. And I've done some little exercises at home and I felt fine doing that stuff. And I think the reasons are, the big, big, big reason is salt. Salt makes such a gigantic difference in terms of many symptoms and energy levels and lots of other things. Also, if you're just kind of adapted to it, if you've done it before, if you're kind of fat adapted, if you've done keto for a while, those things are all going to make it easier because your body's kind of used to it. But salt is a gigantic difference maker. Having some potassium with that is good. Having some magnesium is a bonus. And then using training wheels when needed, like I did, especially on day one and a tiny bit on day two. So those are some things that make it easier. And then, like I said, being adapted. So you should do some easier fasting for a while before you do a 7-day fast. Start with something super easy so your mind and body can gradually get adapted. So that's kind of the long and short of it. Hopefully that was helpful to understand some of the potential health benefits, what it's like, what makes it easier, and you know what to expect if you're going to do it, or to kind of compare and contrast with your own experience if you've done it in the past. If you're watching this on YouTube, I've got a video right here that talks about several health benefits of extended fasting, so you can dive a little deeper into the benefits that I was alluding to. And another video right here that talks about the stages of fasting, kind of what all the different stages your body goes through on an extended fast, which I didn't totally get into because that wasn't the main topic of this video. But check those out if you're interested, and I'll catch you next time. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.